Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Villanova, undefeated no longer.
1 second left. Down goes Villanova. 66-58. The Bulldogs take down the top team in the land.
Mark Minner with the call, courtesy of Learfield Sports, as Butler, ranked 18th in the country, beat Villanova last night, winning it 66-58 at historic Hinkle Fieldhouse. Speaking of historic, the Palestra in Philadelphia. That'll be the site Saturday when the Nittany Lion basketball team takes on Michigan State. Very pleased to be joined by Chris Soleri, who covers Michigan State basketball for the Detroit Free Press. Chris, it is great to hear you on the other end again.
You too, Steve. It's a rarity during basketball season, but I'll take it anytime I can get it.
Absolutely. It's great to hear you. Let's start with this. I know it's a bucket list venue for Tom Izzo. Have you been able to get a level of excitement from a guy that does show his emotions at times about things?
Well, I know that he talked about it when it was announced. He talked about it before the season, and last night after the Rutgers game, he brought it up on his own again. I mean, it does mean a lot to him to get to play there. I mean, we were trying to tick off all the places he's played. I mean, he's played at Cameron, he's played at Ruff, he's played at Pauley.
Fog Allen.
I played at Fog Allen. I mean, this is one of those chances to play it. And he called it a basketball mecca. He played at the Garden. I mean, they had a game earlier this year at the Garden. So that's kind of become old hat. This is a special thing. And I know, you know, for Pat Chambers, this to me is every bit as important and big, because Penn State basketball, you know, wants to get into Philly and wants to start pulling more of those guys from the Philly schools. You know, the Philly basketball is just at a different level than the rest of the state of Pennsylvania. And I think it's big for Chambers. I mean, he's a guy that knows that area and has a name and presence there, but this takes Penn State's presence there to a different level to me.
It does, and especially with six Philadelphia kids on that team, I think that makes a big difference for them going into this game. How have you ever been to the Palestra yourself, and how interested are you to see what the environment is like?
I have not, and I'm really interested. I mean, it's probably taken until last night when Izzo brought it up again for me to kind of refocus my wheels a little bit to think about it. But it's going to be tremendous. I mean, I grew up as kind of a basketball guy in football country in Western Pennsylvania, right? Baseball and basketball. And you know how it is at State College too. I mean, sometimes those sports get a little shuffled to the side, but if you are into it and you go to an area where it means so much, you know, whether it's going, say, to Florida for spring training and seeing what baseball's like there, or going to a venue like the Palestra or even Fog Allen. Hinkle Fieldhouse is another one I covered a game at.
Yep.
A little more than a decade ago, and it's just an amazing environment. I mean, you just feel a little bit of electricity when you walk into it without even doing anything. You haven't seen anything. All you hear is a couple balls bouncing and some crowds, and I think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be a pretty electric environment. You know, I think for Penn State, I mean, hey, I mean, Michigan State's done that for years. They've brought games down to the Palace in Auburn Hills. They've taken games to different places. I think this is a nice step out for them as a program.
Miles Bridges got back in the lineup last night, and he's played slightly more than half the game so far. When he has played, what have you seen from him, Chris?
Whew, boy, he's probably the most electric player I've seen at Michigan State. In, let's see, probably, I graduated high school in 93, so, you know, what are we talking, almost 25 years?
Yeah.
You know, that includes Mateen Cleaves and Draymond Green. And
Jason Richardson.
Shannon Brown. Jason Richardson's about, I mean, I think he's a better version of Jason Richardson.
Yeah.
I mean, Richardson was that kind of talent, but Richardson was nowhere near as polished as Miles Bridges,
right,
especially as a freshman and sophomore before he left for the NBA. Miles Bridges has come in. I've heard comparisons to LeBron James, and you know, I think when you see this guy with the ball in his hands and running the court with it in his hands, that's where you see that comparison. I mean, he can rebound, he can block shots, he obviously can elevate and dunk. We saw that last night. We've seen that throughout the course of the year. But to me, he's just a different kind of player with the ball in his hands. He's very upright. He runs the court. He's got very good vision for a guy that's 6'7". You know, I think probably, you know, the people around here will probably say that he's the most electric player since Magic, which is high praises for a kid from Lansing. You know, and he's got people that grew up with watching Magic from middle school all the way on up. I think they think right now that Bridges is that kind of special talent.
What about Nick Ward? What's been your thought on him?
One thing about Nick Ward is I think he's continually improved. I saw him this summer. They have a pro-am league kind of here. It's mostly college guys. And he had weight on him. I mean, he you can see the skills around the basket, the soft hands and the ability to finish. But he was bulky. He's changed his body. I mean, he dropped 40 pounds since arriving on campus. He's learning how to play with that body. His footwork is very good for a big guy. He knows how to draw contact and make other players that are guarding him get into foul trouble, and he's done a good job of avoiding that himself. But his biggest strength is finishing at the basket. You know, I think that as good as Bridges is, Ward has probably made the most improvement of any of the freshmen and really any of the team that Michigan State has right now. And I think the ceiling is still pretty high for him. He's still got to work on his free throws and maybe a little bit more of an outside and mid-range game. I mean, you know, foul line, you know, in. But he's really a complimentary player. There was a play last night. Izzo put Miles Bridges back in late in that game to get him one sequence, and it was a two-man game between Bridges and Ward, with Bridges on the wing and Ward in the post, something we didn't see before Bridges was hurt. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that coming forward. I kind of called that an Easter egg tucked deep into that game. If you weren't watching it, you might not have saw that. But I think that two-man game is going to be something that they're going to rely on moving forward.
And that's the NBA two-man game, the way when I saw it last night watching it before the Penn State-Michigan game, it looked like an NBA two-man game the way they played it. Fair enough.
Yeah, it really did. And, that's not something that Tom Izzo has had the ability or luxury to do. I mean, you know, he's had good big men, but a lot of them have been good interior passers. He hasn't had that level of guard when he's had them. Although, you know, last year's combo with Denzel Valentine and Deontay Davis was fairly close, but Davis, again, was just raw and lanky, where I think Ward is, you know, he came in, he's got a man's body, likes contact, but he doesn't have that 6'10 length that Davis has. People have been asking me, is he a one-and-done guy? I don't know if he can play himself into that, you know, whether he decides to do that. That's a whole other question. I think he's still got some things to work on, and plus his size factor. Now, Miles Bridges, I think there's a very minimal chance that he would come back at best. He's that kind of player.
Cassius Winston, he probably turns the ball over too much for Tom's liking, but what have you liked in his development as a point?
Yeah, I think you take the good with the bad with him. He's their best half-court option, I think. I think that he can score at you from different angles, and I think that's part of the benefit of having him. He can attack off the wing. He can attack from the point. He can attack from the corners, whereas Tum Tum Nairn's more of kind of the straight line up and down the lane guy. He can score. He's fearless going in traffic. He's got very good court vision. I think, you know, Izzo talked about it earlier in the year, and there are times where you can still see that he's trying to maybe beat the AAU game out of him a little bit.
Right.
Just because the level of defense at the college ranks is significantly better. You can't make some of the flash and dash passes. That happens with any young point guard. But, his ability to score, I think, is what makes him a special guy. He does have a very good connection with Bridges. He has a very good connection with the other players on the court. Marin doesn't give you the scoring option. He's very good in transition, up and down. Like I said, he's more of a straight line guy, where Winston is kind of a weave and bob. I guess, if you're looking at it, a colleague kind of compared Winston to Jazz, whereas as Nairn is maybe just more 4-4 March.
Right.
I guess.
That's an interesting comparison. He's scheduled tough. They had to fight their way through it. What have you seen in the last four games that's been a common thread that shows it's going in the direction that Tom wants it to go in?
Toughness. I think they have grown into a much tougher team than they were before Miles Bridges got hurt. I think that started maybe with the late fade in the Northeastern game when they were up six late in that game and let it slip away. You saw them come out with a lot more tenacity against Oakland and a ton more against Minnesota and Northwestern in the first two to open the Big Ten play. I mean, without that tough schedule in November, I don't think that team wins those two games. I mean, those are markedly better teams. I mean, Minnesota is probably more talented Northwestern right now, but still trying to find its way a little bit. A bigger team, Michigan State managed to go into a very hostile place up at Williams Arena and survive a terrible first half and come back. And then against Northwestern, I think they started out blistering hot in that game and really had some momentum and then had to hold on. So I mean they found some toughness and I guess. Mojo in them to win these close games that they weren't winning against Arizona, that they weren't winning maybe when they had Baylor and Kentucky close before getting blown out in the second half of those games. And same with Duke. I mean, that game at Duke, to me, what they've done in the last four games is what they couldn't do at Duke. And now you add Miles Bridges back in. How much better can they be? I mean, it's a lot that, how he gets blended into this system right now is to me going to be interesting, because those other four guys outside of that four position where Bridges will be have really, really stepped their game up. Bridges, can he stay within the flow of that? I think so, because he's just Izzo's used the term blue-collar superstar with him, and I think he saw that last night in his 17 minutes. He didn't do anything out of system, really. I mean, they managed to seamlessly blend him in. So, he can be an added amount of grit and toughness for this team as a superstar.
Chris, is there still some concern late game that Michigan State's not a great free throw shooting team?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, if you haven't watched those first couple games and maybe seen what Nick Ward's doing, I mean, that was Richard Pitino's strategy, foul Ward late, put him on the line and try and get the ball back when he misses. I mean, I think the issues that they were having weren't necessarily with Nick Ward as it was with some of the guards, with like Aaron Harris and Tum Tum Nair, guys that should be making a Matt McQuaid,
right.
Those guys missing. And the last couple games, you started to see them hit more. I mean, you're going to have to take that with Nick Ward, because you just don't have any other options in the post. And maybe some teams are going to start thinking about that in the future, trying to foul him, put him on the line, and hope he misses or splits and get a rebound and trade possessions that way. But I think the concern with the other guards is probably a little, they hit a slump. I think I think back 2 years ago, Michigan State had similar problems with their guards. Just no explanation. They were just all missing. It was kind of a contained slump
a contagious slump that went across the board. Then they go into the NCAA tournament, start hitting them, and then end up in the Final Four. I mean, it's weird how free throw shooting is.
There's no question. One final question for you, Chris. What's your read on the matchup with Penn State?
Boy, I had a better read on Penn State the last few years, just simply because I talked to Pat in the summers for the Blue Ribbon Magazine preview. This summer, I, of course, the one summer I decided to take away from Penn State, I don't. But, you know, I think Shep Garner is a special kind of player, and I think Banks has been good. I think that, you know, they've got some balance to their team. And I think they're starting to get to where Pat Chambers wants them to be. And I know Tom Izzo is very complimentary of the job that Pat's done and really what kind of team this is. And I think you've seen that in the early stretch here. Penn State's a tough team. You know, it doesn't matter if, you know, who they're beating or who they're losing to. They're going to play you tough. And, you know, now you go into a venue that neither team is familiar with. You know, but I'm sure it's going to be extensively Penn State fans watching in a tremendous venue. I think that's going to be interesting. I think that, you know, that they will play Michigan State very tough, and I, you know, how Michigan State responds in a situation like that, I think, could be the deciding factor.
Chris, always a pleasure. I look forward to seeing you Saturday in that great place.
Sounds great, Steve. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, we'll see you.
Chris Soleri from the Detroit Free Press. What's so funny?
Talk about it on the after show. Something new in 2017, an expanded after show.
Incredible.
The pod podcast.
Let me put it this way. That is where the suit excelled, like the after show. And I've always had people say to me, he says, you know, I've tried hard to hear the after show for years. I said, I haven't been able to pick it up. I said, that's too bad, because that is really where he shines. Oh, yeah, Jimmy, at least we have a good time.
We do.
We do have a good time.
That's the plan again for this year, yes.
My goodness, we are a month away from our fifth anniversary of doing this show. Roger's sitting back in the office going, you got to be kidding me. It felt like 20. I mean, this has gone by fast for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, because I came on board, what, last March? Yeah, I'm thinking, oh, man, a couple months away from a year already.
I know. It's amazing. It's been an amazing run. And you've done a lot of great stuff on this show.
Well, I got some other irons in the fire we're looking forward to, and get this first year under my belt, and then next year we'll have some more challenges, but we'll tackle them head on with much more focus and concentration to help make this show good. That's what we're here. Keeps me out of trouble for 2 hours, too. That's always a good thing.
Now, I mean, you mentioned trying to make the show good, but you still have to overcome the host.
Don't worry about that. Come on.
What is that dude's deal? Oh, goodness. We're out someplace, and I ended up, I'm trying to think. I was Wolfgang Pucks, and I ended up buying dinner. And I opened up my wallet, and I said, Jack, I said, was that a moth that just flew out? Like I said, you got to have some fun, right?
Yes.
You got to have some fun. All right. Well, great to have everybody on board today. Our thanks to Chris Soleri, Detroit Free Press, and Dan Duggan from NJ.com. So we try to give everybody just a good, solid read on what is going on. NFL playoffs, Palestra game, things like that. So hopefully we gave everybody a good read on that and you know, enhance your enjoyment of the games coming up this weekend. And the Houston-Oakland game, it's just, I mean, it might be a good game. But it doesn't. It's the worst time slot. It's a Saturday afternoon. Seattle, Detroit's not so bad. Stafford, Wilson, Steeler game with Miami. Miami won big the first time, but now Matt Moore's the quarterback. Roethlisberger is there in sync. Antonio Brown, Bell, Packers, Giants, pretty good matchup. 1-800-795-9565. Questions, comments. Final half hour of the show. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Q, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. Love to hear from you today. And get your questions and comments on a wide variety of topics. The part I enjoy is hearing from you. So I'd like to hear from you in the final half hour. We've had guests all day again today, between Chris Soleri, Detroit Free Press. We thank him, and we also want to thank Dan Duggan from NJ.com. 800-795-9565 is the number to call, and we'd love to hear from you on the show today. Let's see. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. And hoping to address some problems with fans voting in the starters for the All-Star game, the NBA made some changes in the process, making the fan vote count for only 50%. The other 50% of the votes will be accounted for by the players and media voting for the first time ever. The change was made so players with a passionate fan base would not become undeserving All-Stars, otherwise known as the Zaza Pachulia effect. This is the problem. Thanks to a strong social media movement, Pachulia, who played for the Dallas Mavericks last year, was almost voted into the 2016 All-Star Game. And while Pachulia did not get voted in, the amount of votes he was able to garner through his home country of Georgia and various other social media types is basically the reason why the NBA adjusted the rules of fan voting. But despite the changes, it seems like they have inspired Pachulia's fans even more than before, because right now, he is zeroing in on a spot. And the Warriors center is in the starting front court at the moment. Here's the fan voting so far for the exhibition known as the All-Star Game of the NBA. LeBron James is the number one vote-getter. Stunning. Antetokounmpo from the Bucks is second, Kevin Love third, Joel Embiid of the Sixers fourth, and Carmelo Anthony is fifth. For guards, it's Kyrie Irving, Dwayne Wade, DeMar DeRozan, Isaiah Thomas of the Celtics, and Derrick Rose of the Knicks. In the West, Kevin Durant has a lead of 70,000 over Pachulia, his teammate, with Kawhi Leonard third, Anthony Davis fourth, and Draymond Green fifth. And then Steph Curry is number one for guards. James Harden second, Russell Westbrook third, Klay Thompson fourth, and Chris Paul fifth. So if it was just up to the fans, LeBron, Love, and Anopo, Irving, and DeRozan would be the starters. In the West, Pachulia, Durant, Curry, Harden, and Westbrook. Pachulia is the only misnomer there. He only has a slim lead, by the way, over Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis, who are exponentially better players. Also, the players and the media likely won't be voting Pachulia in droves. Expect someone else to take that spot. But that, you know, the fan voting, I'm sorry, I've been against it in every way, shape, and form for a long time. That's our Sports Bozo of the day. Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick. How are you today? Great to hear from you.
Hey, Steve. Hey, one quick comment on football. Obviously, everybody's disappointed in the Rose Bowl game, but I'm pretty optimistic about the next several seasons. And, you know, and I think they're actually really going in the right direction with this football team. So I'll just – that's my comment on football. But the reason I called was basketball. I saw the game last night on television, and I saw the game with George Mason, and obviously I had some interest in watching Paulson's team play. I was really disappointed in the way they played against George Mason, and I thought I liked the way they played last night at Michigan, except I didn't like the fact that they couldn't close the game out with a 13-14 point lead. And there again, I'm not sure exactly how the game got away from them. I personally would have called a timeout sooner than waiting down to the end, but that's right. Coaching styles. I did nothing to do about that. You know, once a team starts scoring 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 straight points, I think it was 9 straight points, and then that's when the timeout happened. Because we had the lead, and so I'm disappointed in that game, you know, a lot more so than George Mason. They didn't really compete very well that night for whatever reason. I can't tell you why teams don't compete. And the other reason I really wanted to call you was I listened to an analyst yesterday or the day before on the Big Ten. He wasn't a Big Ten announcer, but he seems to think that the Big Ten overall, other than Wisconsin and a couple teams, is going to be weaker this year, by and large, as a conference.
Yeah, that was an interesting point when we had Brendan Quinn on yesterday. I think the upper part of the conference is really, really good. Wisconsin is a really good team, not a great team, but really good. They're very cohesive. I think Purdue's really good. Indiana has slumped, so that doesn't help. Michigan State has a chance to be outstanding. It looks like they're finally back on track. I think right now 1-3 you can feel fine about. 4-9 is a real dogfight as to how those positions play out. And that's where Penn State comes in. They're trying to get themselves in that 4-9 area somewhere. Last night, they have better athletes than Michigan does. That's one of the few times in my career I feel I can say that.
I agree with that.
Their effort was really good. So there was athletes with effort. They just don't have the experience yet to close it out. And it's no coincidence to me that Irvin and Walton, the two seniors, made all the big plays down the stretch for Michigan. And I think winning last night would have put them a month ahead of schedule. Instead, right now, they're still fighting to find that game that puts them ahead of schedule.
I mean, when you can go on the road, it's tough. Going to be tough to play. You know that as well as anybody. And to go in the pro, you know, at a Michigan or Ohio State, especially, or Wisconsin, and Purdue, Indiana, those teams, those places are tough to play in. So a win there would have been really big. And the other reason I'm saying is because it wasn't until they went on that big run that the crowd wasn't in the ball game. So
that's right.
And all of a sudden they came back into the game, and that really now you're playing five players plus the crowd all of a sudden right down the stretch, and it really, that's tough when you're on the road.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, because the crowd, you're right, Dick, once they hit a couple of threes, and the threes are always the big momentum shots or a dunk is, and you could tell that the crowd was there. And I think I even made a comment in the broadcast, okay, here they come.
Yeah, and they were. They did. They came right back. And the other thing I will say about it, and I don't get to see Penn State games like I used to. I go to wrestling, and right. I know what kind of crowds are there, so I'm not sure what kind of, but Michigan had a good student crowd there last night. Overall, I think, I don't know what it's like most places you go to, but by and large, I think a lot of students have less interest in basketball than they did a few years ago. They don't seem to go to the games like they used to. I'm not sure. Maybe they go to Villanova and they go to Syracuse. But I think a lot of schools, I think the attendance, for student attendance, might be down. I'm guessing. I don't know that.
I think you're right. I think you're right, Dick, because the student body, by the way, was back in session at Michigan. Penn State doesn't start up until Monday, but Michigan was back in session. They had a good student contingent last night. But you know what?
Maybe it's the way the camera angles were, too, but they had that whole bottom tier filled up with students, and they –
Right.
And as I say, they really got back into the game, and of course, it's just tough on the road then, and it is tough. But they do have Penn State has better athletes playing basketball right now than they used to. Now, that doesn't concentrate into a better team, so to speak, either. Because
right.
I talked today with the guy. We talked about the game last night, and I said I think Penn State has a better thing, but I hope they're just not all playground players. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. No, they've got to be a cohesive team. You're right.
You know, you can get away. There's teams that can win with playground players, but good teams don't do that. And the better some of the teams that do that, basically those kids never stay long. You know the schools, the Kentuckys and Memphis, some of those kids go for a year or two and they're off to the NBA. So,
that's a really good point. And see, they've got to become a cohesive team.
It takes more than a year to be a cohesive team. And, you know,
yes.
I think they're going to be okay. I'm hoping that Pat Chambers has this team going in the right direction. I hope he recruits, you know, I hope he gets better kids. I want Penn State to succeed. They have to be better than they've been the last number of years to compete at the upper echelon of the Big Ten. It's that simple.
Right.
You can watch the year in and year out. They didn't have that kind of team. And but you know, there's X amount of teams you can compete with: the Indianas and the Ohio States and the Wisconsins, or you can stumble along with Iowa and Minnesota and whatever. It's a good conference. The last number of years, it's had some really good teams. And whether it's that way, I don't know what it's like this year. I don't know who all lost and whoever. I think Wisconsin's going to be very good, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Good conference this year. Very good, not great. And one thing about the Big Ten, you don't have to win it. But if you can get yourself either in the 4 through 7 spots, you now put yourself in a position to be seriously considered for the NCAA tournament. I think that has to be the goal, to somehow get yourself to the 4 through 7 spots.
Well, I'll let you go. I was going to ask you if I got a chance the other day, and I didn't get a chance to call in when you probably discussed the Rose Bowl game. But I was kind of curious, and I don't mean to beat anybody up over something, because obviously James Franklin did the right thing. But the two kids that didn't play, didn't go, whether it was academics or whatever they said it was, I'm not 100% sure, because I didn't think that was the issue, but maybe it was. How much do you think that happened, especially that wide receiver, really hurt them or didn't hurt them at all? I guess is my point.
I think not having both hurt, because I feel Blacknall is a bigger receiver, could have been effective against Marshall and given maybe a different option for McSorley. Now, it didn't hurt depth-wise. Now, where Bowen hurt, Dick, is what I refer to as the domino effect.
Right.
And the domino effect is this. You're fine with Bell, Kabinda, and Farmer. But the problem would be, if you lose one, now what happens? And that happened in the game. Bell
right.
got hurt. If Bowen had been playing, Bowen would have flipped over to Bell's spot, and then Farmer would have played. You would have been perfectly fine at that point. Bowen's not going to play just like Bell, but he's going to give you the experience, because he's now a two-year player, and the speed and quickness that can counter what USC's doing. That was the domino effect of not having him, because the scenario that you worried about did happen. You lost one of your linebackers, and a guy that would have flipped over to replace him was not available. So it would have been Bell, Kabinda, and Bowen starting. Bell would have gotten hurt. Bowen just would have flipped over to Bell's spot. Then Farmer would have played, and that was the issue.
Well, they competed well. Best thing I'm going to say. I thought they played very well, and
no
they
doubt.
Came back. And they had every chance to win, and they had every chance to lose. And unfortunately, maybe the every chance to lose was a little bit stronger than the every chance to win. We'll just let it go at that. So, all right. Well, it was a good season, and moving on, we've got wrestling. We have women's basketball. I did see them play Rutgers the other day on television, and
yep.
And obviously the wrestlers took a beating by not getting to go to Las Vegas, which happened. They lost. Each kid lost 3 or 4 matches, probably quality matches. And that hurt,
right.
might hurt them down the road, but probably not with these kids. All right, thanks a lot, Steve. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you, Dick. Good talking with you. 800-795-9565. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of the show. Tomorrow's show's in Philadelphia. Really enjoying my 28 hours here. So far, I've got, let's see what I get back, 3:30. Let's see. No, let's just say 3 o'clock just for government work. I've been here for... Well, 14 hours down, 14 to go. Good. There we go. Not bad, huh?
Sneak in a little coach's show halfway through, too.
I got one. I got that tonight. Jeff Thompson, women's gymnastics, with us tonight. And then Patrick Chambers. Kevin Seifert from NFL Nation on ESPN.com. How did the NFL officiating report turn out? Crews, 17 crews in the NFL in terms of penalties per game. Now, these are all penalties, and it doesn't matter whether accepted, declined, or offsetting, okay? Brad Allen's crew led the way, averaging 18.4 a game. Terry McCauley, second, 18.3. Jerome Boger, 18 penalties per game. Jeff Triplett's crew was fourth, 17.8. John Hussey's crew, fifth, 17.5. Walt Anderson's crew, sixth at 17.3. Seventh was John Perry's crew at 16.7. Cleet Blakeman's crew was eighth at 16.3. Ed Hockley, 9 at 15.7. Carl Cheffers, 10 at 15.1. Tony Corrente, 11 at 15.1. Ronald Torbort is 12th at 14.9. Walt Coleman, 13th at 14.8. Pete Morelli is 14 at 13.9. Gene Steratore, 15, 13.5. 16 is Craig Rolstadt's crew at 13.1. And Bill Vinovich, fewest penalties, his crew per game, only 12.5. You're talking about a six-penalty difference between Bill Vinovich and Brad Allen. Now, this is the whole crew. It's, I mean, you know, they're referees, so they're the ones that lead, you know, that have a name attached to it. But, you know, you're talking about a six penalty per game difference between 1 and 17. I mean, that's significant. And, you know, you're talking about 33% fewer penalties in games that he works. Vinovich, by the way, has worked the Super Bowl. But that was, you know, I think fans find that interesting because, you know, they watch the games and they see who's officiating. 1-800-795-9565. Brian in Elysburg. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Steve. Happy New Year. And, it wasn't a great year to start the year off with a loss. But, hey, the season we had, nobody predicted that we would even win 8 games in some of the predictions I saw in early in the season. So it was still a great year, but it was still been nice. The last thing I was going to say is that I know Garrett Stickles is leaving. I'm going to hang up and listen on the radio. Who else you think Marcus Allen might be leaving too? Hey, we'll talk to you again, it was great to see you, and we'll see you next year, this year again, this season. Thanks again, buddy. Bye-bye now.
I look forward to it very much, Brian. Thanks. Still waiting to hear what Marcus Allen and Chris Godwin are going to do. They submitted their information to the NFL. They do know where they stand. And again, what you get now from the NFL is this. You get first round,
second round or go back to school. They no longer do first round, second round, 3 through 7, go back to school. It's now first round, second round, go back to school. Well, they do have the information. They have until a week from Monday, the 16th, I believe, to make up their minds. So, you know, we'll wait. Garrett Sickles has already said yes, he's going to put his name into the NFL draft. It happens to be for Penn State, a position where there's some young players ready to step up, like Shane Simmons, Shaka Tony. I would expect them to work their way into the rotation. Chris Godwin will have to wait and see. I don't know if Chris Godwin can improve his lot by staying, but I don't think Chris Godwin can also hurt himself by staying either. So he's got to make up his mind as to what he wants to do. And Marcus Allen, my advice to him would be, my guess in terms of watching him, Marcus can be better tracking the ball in pass coverage. I think he's very good in the run game, but he has to be a little bit better tracking the ball in the pass game. I think it would behoove him to come back. And well, you know, but that's my opinion. That may not be the opinion that Marcus shares or his father Sean shares. Jack and I did talk to his father after the game. We're not going to get into what we talked about; that would be unfair. But we did talk with them, and you know, Jack did most of the talking. Obviously, I'm not going to jump into something like that, especially with somebody who knows the game like Jack does. But you know, that's a wait and see on that. I talked to James Franklin for over an hour this morning, and I didn't really get a read on anybody else as to what future plans would be. So Sickles is definitely going to leave early. Keep in mind, too, Penn State's classes start on Monday. And if they're going to stay, they better be in class on Monday. So if they're showing up at classes on Monday, that should be a tip-off as to where they're going and what they're doing. Tomorrow, from Philadelphia, Neil Riddell, Altoona Mira, my brother on the playoffs. The suit won the bowl pool third straight year. If you could just do that same kind of deal on media, it'd be great.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.